Psalm 119, as quite often in the Psalms, David talks about people who are on his side and those who aren't. Verse 6, Yahweh is on my side, I will not be afraid, what can man do to me? Verse 7, Yahweh is on my side among those who help me, therefore I will look in triumph at those who hate me. Well, that is all true on one level, but I want to observe that I think that David is far too simplistic in the way that he draws his lines, in the way that he decides that whoever's on my side is on God's side, and whoever's not on my side is not on God's side, and one day I shall look in triumph at those who hate me. Well, I think his subsequent life experience taught him the other way. For example, he would have classified Saul and the house of Saul as those who hate me. Saul did hate him, and therefore were not on God's side. He would have classified men like Absalom, his own son, during the time of Absalom's rebellion as those who are against me. And when you look at the Psalms that he writes under persecution by Saul and under exile from Absalom, he does come out with that same simplistic kind of position. But when Saul dies, he's heartbroken. He's really heartbroken. And he laments over Saul. He's really sad and heartbroken. He really is. And he says in one of the Psalms that he lamented for Saul as a man weeps for his mother, that is, at his mother's funeral. Why do men weep for their mothers? I think because they realize at that graveside that they did not appreciate mum as they should have done. And I think that there's an element of that in how David felt about Saul. And of course, when Absalom dies, he's again heartbroken. Absalom, my son, would God that I had died for you. So I think also what you see is that the lines that divided people in David's experience of life often didn't necessarily go along the lines of whoever is right with God and whoever isn't. There were people, for example, in the court of Saul, who were on his side. We think of Jonathan, of course. There were people amongst the courtiers of Absalom who were on David's side. We think of Hushai and the priests and their sons. So there's something self-evidently really wrong with the way that he makes these divisions. I'll read the verses again, verse 6 of Psalm 118. Yahweh is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Verse 7, Yahweh is on my side among those who help me. Therefore, I will look in triumph at those who hate me. There's a passage in the Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn, which I have alluded to a number of times in my little chats, where there he was in the Gulag, in the prison camp system of the Soviet Union, and he reflects, oh, that it was so easy to just get all the bad people and put them in a camp, put them on an island, and let the decent people, the godly people, just get on and live happily together. But he says it's not that simple, because the line that divides good from evil passes right through the human heart. And who wants to tear out a part of their own heart? And this is so true. And I think you see David in his immaturity having these feelings that it's all black and white. If you're on my side, you're a good guy. You're on God's side. If you're not on my side, well, you're not on God's side. This is particularly manifest when there are divisions within churches. And there is this strong sense. You see it likewise when there is a family breakup and there's a divorce and the families divide along certain lines that Johnny's a good bloke and Kathy's an awful woman, or the other way around. Kathy's just absolutely wonderful and Johnny was a terrible bloke. You know, it's not quite like that. Obviously fictional names here. I don't know any Johnny and Kathy's, but you know what I'm trying to say. The lines that divide are not that simplistic, and yet there is within human nature a tendency towards this kind of simplistic division. You see it in the whole mentality of cowboys and Indians, the cowboys always the goodies. In the old movies, cops and robbers, the cops are always good and the robbers are always evil. And yet we know from reflection that that is simplistic. That is a very simplistic dividing of people. You see it in global politics, that my enemy's friend must be my friend. Well, not necessarily. You saw how the West, particularly America, was so wrong-footed in Afghanistan, as the British were years ago in the 19th century, that whoever's on my side against my enemies must be a good guy. And that's not necessarily the case. You end up then fighting them later on because you realize, oh, wow, actually, no, they've got positions and so forth that were not at all mine. And so David's division like this of people into the black and the white, into the good and the bad, into those on my side and those on God's side, was far too simplistic. To remind you of how Paul says at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 1:15, that all those in Asia are turned away from me. And that, I suppose, stands true. That's what he says. Certainly that was how he felt. And yet, when you come to the book of Revelation, you read in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the letters of the Lord Jesus to the churches that were in Asia. And this was sometime after Paul had died, or at best it was during the end of Paul's life. And he felt that they'd all turned away from him. But quite clearly, there were faithful people within the churches of Asia. This is made absolutely clear reading the Lord's letters to them. Sure, they were generally very weak and had gone very far away from true Christianity, but there were still some who had not turned aside. And he said, who are walking with me in white. And to him who overcomes, he says, there is a great reward. And he says, there are some amongst you who have not defiled their garments. And yet they had all apparently turned away from Paul. So people can turn away from you. And yet it doesn't mean that because you are godly, that therefore those people are ungodly. This is something we look forward to in the kingdom, when all these interpersonal divisions and wrong drawing of lines will be resolved. And yet we have to be wise in this life and realize that that is how it ultimately will be, and look back at the example of an experience of people like Paul and David and see that there was a strong tendency to draw these lines where they should not have been drawn. If people turn away from you, so they do. That is how it is, and sure, they're wrong, but you also will come to your grave planks imperfect. We all die imperfect and immature, and we don't get to where we should have got spiritually at the point at which we die. We are saved by grace, not by our own perfection, not by our own perfection of character in every aspect of our life and thinking. And so that is how it is, and that is how it is going to be with everybody else in our lives. Sure, they shouldn't have turned away from you. They shouldn't slander you. They shouldn't have certain wrong narratives that they keep on repeating about you, and then, but they still go to church or whatever and do their thing and claim to believe in God and Jesus. Well, indeed they do. But okay, so they're mistaken in this part of their life. And you also have drawn lines in the wrong places.